Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
There's a cat over here. There's a cat over there. And the wrong one died. And the wrong one died.
Welcome to The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. I'm your host, Mike Abrams, and today we have another amazing guest. He just finished his run as the Rum Tum Tugger on the U.S. National Tour 6 of Cats, which is currently performing right now on tour. So welcome, Zach Bravo, and thank you for joining me.
Hey, Mike, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to have you. Tuggers are always fun because it's such a character personality with a lot of fun in the show. But before we get into Tugger and your experience as Tugger, I always love hearing about your experience with the show before being cast in it. So were you one of the people that had the 1998 VHS on replay? Did you know it well? Like, what was your experience?
Well, I didn't really hear about Cats until I was about like 8, 9, maybe 10 years old. Had no idea about it until a family friend of mine who lived around the area was like really big into just Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals, but one of her favorites was Cats. And she had the tape, and she let me borrow it one day, and she told me, "Watch this, you're gonna play Rum Tum Tugger one day."
So destined from 8 years old to be this
pretty
part.
Much. And you know, I grew up as a dancer, so like and the only boy dancer in my studio, so like I was always just like out there, just like doing all this crazy stuff. So my family friend, Sharon is her name. She was like, "Yeah, no, you should watch this because I feel like you would be really great as this when you're older." And I watched it at that age. And of course I didn't really know what was going on. But I just took it as is. But I, of course, once I saw the Rum Tum Tugger come out, I was like, "Oh yeah, that's me." I'm like,
yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's super interesting because I think it's like I've talked to a couple of Tuggers in the past where it's like that is not at all their personality, and that's kind of the fun of the acting. And here you are saying like I knew that was destined from 8 years old on that this was going to be my future.
Yeah, kind of.
Awesome. Okay, so you saw it on the VHS. You now know that you're going to be a Tugger when you grow up. When was the first time? Did you see it on stage before you performed?
I did. As if a lot of people don't know this, the our version of this tour is the revival back from 2016. Yeah. And that was my first time ever seeing Cats live. And I believe I was I think I was a sophomore in college that I got tickets to go see it. And I was just blown away, really. Like I was in tears. I was just like really moved by like the score and the dancing, and you know, growing up with a big dance background, I was just like incredibly moved. Again, like at that time, I was trying so hard to just like understand it. But you know, when it comes to watching a show like Cats, it's very much like you take it how you want to take it. There is like no rhyme or reason. And I feel like that was Andrew Lloyd Webber's goal with it, was to just be like, this is what I have to present. Take it as you will. And you know, I left that theater like just being very inspired. And of course, when I did see Tugger go on, Tyler Haynes, or it might have been Sam Lipps, either Tyler Haynes or Sam Lipps that went on for Tugger. I left that theater just being very inspired and looking forward to my future in my musical theater career.
Yeah. So you're in college and you are basically studying to be in musical theater. Like you're at this time trying to like, that's going to be your future career. When was it early in the run? Do you remember when you saw it? Like, did you see Leona Lewis or Mamie Paris?
No, I saw Leona Lewis.
Okay, so you saw it early. So probably was Tyler, unless he was off that day, because he would have been in the early run.
Yeah, could have been.
Okay, that's okay. So you see it in soft. So basically, you see the VHS as an 8-year-old, yes. And then you see it as an adult. Mm-hmm. Did you have any kind of like aha moments as the stage production of like, oh, this is a lot different than what 8-year-old me recognized?
No, I kind of just felt the same. If anything, it was nostalgic. Of course, like the revival and Gillian Lynn's version of Cats is not extremely different, but they have their differences. It still tells the same story. But I still, for me, I definitely felt the same way that I felt when I first saw it on the tape. Okay.
So there's not any of the, like the overly aggressive sexual nature of the show that hits you as an adult. that goes over your head as an 8-year-old. Okay.
It was like very like normal for me. I was like, okay, yeah, like this is what it is, you know?
Yeah. I always find that part kind of fascinating because it's like there is, I think 8-year-old you sees a different version than adult you in that show. Cause I think some of those things are like, oh, that is clearly more sexual than I probably would have thought. Or that is like very much a coming of age dance, you know, like stuff like that. I don't think most kids are going to, or I hope most kids aren't recognizing. I don't think kids should see the show for that reason. But,
No. I mean, at least for me, cause like, again, like when I watched John Partridge's Tugger, I just saw like a lot of shimmying and shaking and hip thrust. And that's basically kind of what I did when I was doing dance recitals. So yeah. I was like, it wasn't like not normal for me. So again, to circle back, like I didn't really feel any like sort of difference. It was more so like a nostalgic feeling. Like I understand that there are like, you know, certain sexual themes within the show, that are like for some of the cats, like it's coming of age, and others are, they just ooze with, raw sex.
Totally. Okay. So now you get cast. Your destiny is fulfilled as Tugger. What are you told about like the backstory? Like I always love hearing how you are given the history of Cats or the story of Cats. It's like, what were you told about the story and what were you told about Tugger?
Oh man. Well, I remember, at first, when we were rehearsing, and learning the show, it was strictly just learning the skeletons, of the production. And we were waiting for Chrissy Cartwright to come and visit us so she could respectively tell us what Cats is. And we were pretty knee deep into rehearsals. Like we learned the show like in about like 2-3 weeks. Then Chrissy Cartwright came around like the second week. And we had like a sort of like a boot camp essentially of just like, you know, learning how to be in our bodies as cats and sensing everything. But as far as what the story is, if I can remember, because it was just so much information to just take in. Totally. in a span of 3 weeks, you know what I mean? But from what I can remember, I just remember her telling us that Cats is about redemption and family and acceptance. And that we are a tribe. That was the one thing that I remember being told, is that we are a tribe. And, you know, with a tribe, that means, you know, we're a family, and, you know, family goes through every single thing. Like we're not always a happy family. We can also be a sad family. We could also be a very upset family. And we also like, I think what's also really great is that we have so many different cats that have different personalities, that have different thought processes. And that shows, that really does show when you see it on stage. And I certainly felt that, every night doing the show. Now as Tugger, I remember Chrissy was going through every single cat, and because, you know, we're getting ready, the thing is that we're getting ready for the Jellicoe ball, and we're waiting for Old Dude to come and have him decide who is the next to go to the Heaviside Lair, so that we can have a new Jellicoe life. You know the spiel. So Chrissy goes through every single cat and tells us like who would be a good candidate. And then when she got to Tugger, she immediately said, Tugger is not a candidate. And she straight up said, Tugger is not a candidate. He does not like, he could not be bothered with it at all. And that got my like creative juices thinking. I was like, okay, so if he's not a candidate, then it just gives all the more reason why he just wants to have a party all the time. And, you know, and that's why he enters the way that he enters, is because, I mean, he says it in his song, like there's nothing that he enjoys more than a horrible muddle. He loves the mischief. So it's like, all right, like if I'm not going anywhere, I might as well just do something here, you know?
I love it. So you are basically told right up front, hey, I'm not even in the running. I'm just here to cause some wreak havoc and have some fun.
Yeah.
And so, and you kind of have the one, I think really one of the only roles where you get a little bit of freedom, like, cause you have some flexibility to kind of go a little off script, cause that's kind of the character. So like, did you get to play with that every night?
I did. Even during rehearsal, this is actually really a fun thing that I will never forget. There was one part that I improvised. It wasn't necessarily like a line change or anything, but it was just something that I had just ad-libbed, really. And I remember we were doing notes after our run. Chrissy said, don't ad-lib. You cannot compete with T.S. Eliot. And I was like, noted.
Yeah.
So that also gave me an idea as to be like, okay, so like, you know, again, I didn't go like way off script. It was just more like a small little ad lib, but that detail can change a whole lot. And I was like, okay, so like, I know what to do and what not to do. So that's a fun little tidbit of fun fact that I have with that.
So interesting.
But as far as like, you know, then doing the show and getting used to the body of Tugger, I started to take a little bit more liberty with how he reacts with the cats and how he reacts with the audience. A theory of mine is that, you know, it's actually pretty straightforward, really, that as soon as the show starts, you know, we got the overture happening, and then, you know, the cats come out and we see the audience. So we know that they're there because they're in our space. So we're like, totally. Why are you guys in our space? It doesn't seem to be like, are you just like passing through? Oh, you're here to stay? Okay, well, you guys don't look smart enough to be around us, so we're going to tell you how great we are. And we do that for 2.5 hours.
Because you don't get to do Green Eyes, right? Because you don't, no. Like, because COVID, they didn't let you in the audience. But that's kind of generally how the show starts.
Yeah.
Right? That's like, that was my experience, is there, you're as a cat in the crowd with that exact thing. Like, oh, you're here. I'm going to get right in your face. Mm-hmm. Like, show you that you're in my space,
yeah,
and then go and kind of tell us the story.
Yeah, yeah. There was a lot of restrictions due to COVID, so we weren't able to go out to the audience as much, or at all, really. But we kept the intensity of knowing that the audience is there and we could look at them because they're in our space. And so for Tugger, I felt like I just knew what to do. Tugger is definitely the type of cat where he is just so preening, that like he'll just like, he's that type of cat where like he'll go up to you and just like rub against your leg and look right at you, be like, I'm cute, right? Like, you like me, you know, very much like that. And he does that for 5 minutes straight in his number. But yes, I'm sorry. So for Tugger, since he knows that the audience is there, he's out there to show them, like, I see you guys. I see you, see me, see you. Like, I know you're here, and I know that you think I'm pretty. So let me shimmy for you a little bit, you know? So
plays it up for the crowd.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Like, for me, like, I just try to ham it up as possible because it's the only time to really that those 5 minutes are really to show who he is as a cat. I almost said a person, but mm-hmm. a cat.
Did you like, it's such a rock number minus the couple years they made it a rap number. Mm-hmm. Did you like build off of any rock influences?
Yes. Yeah. A whole lot. I, obviously that was also another thing, like that there was a lot of, talks with between, my musical director and the conductor, and also people from Rug. They were telling me how, like, you know, cause he's changed a whole lot as far as the sound is concerned. And back mm-hmm. in 81, you know, he was highly influenced by Elvis Presley. And then, you know, when it came to Broadway, like it was more like Mick Jagger. Elvis was still kind of there. But Mick Jagger, and then years down the line, especially towards the revival, there were talks of, like, you know, of more pop stars like Prince and Bruno Mars and all that stuff. So there was a lot of influence there to, like, kind of like figure out, okay, what is his voice now? And for me, with the influences that I had looked through, for me, it was more so like Metallica a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. I like that.
Very like James Hetfield. Cause I love the way that he sings. And he always throws in like a yeah in his singing. And, for me, I kind of threw that in there, on like the occasional, riffs in the song. So I inspired a lot from Metallica, to like just get into it. I love Metallica, actually. Other bands, I can't really think off the top of my head, but Metallica was definitely one of the influences for me.
Nice. I think that's great. And I mean, I think your song is so, it's a very memorable number because it kind of comes like right at you. It's like very in your face. Yes. And it's, you know, it's a very sexual and like a lot of like hip thrusting and all kinds of stuff there. Mm-hmm. Being on tour where you're not in the same city every night and you're kind of moving around, yeah. like, did you feel that reaction like in different places? Like, I do think there are some cats and numbers that are like, okay, these are going to be like, these are the memorable ones that everyone's going to like come after the show and see at the stage and be like, oh, there's your Tugger. Like, did you have like any kind of like fun interactions with crowds after with the number so kind of like rock heavy?
I did actually. I didn't realize like how, even before going into this tour, like I didn't realize like how strong the Cats fandom is. Yes. They are powerful. Oh my gosh. Like it's incredible. Like it's an entirely different beast, really. So, you know, it also a little overwhelming because, like, you know, it's Cats, you know, and people, and there's a huge amount of people that really love Cats, and I love that so much for them. But yeah, no, like after the shows, when we were allowed to, or people were by the stage door, they would kind of pick me out and see, you know, me. Also, like I am very much into like promoting and a lot of content creating. I did a lot of that on my TikTok, which which kind of blew up my account from doing Cats. And you know, I would get a lot of comments on my videos being like, hey, I'm gonna see you at this theater, can't wait to see you there, or I'll be waiting at stage door here. Also, like a lot of just DMs on my Instagram as well. It was very like awesome, scary but awesome, because I was gonna be like meeting a bunch of, knowing that there's a bunch of people there to see me, you know, and of course, no, sorry, not just me, but to see Cats, you know.
Totally. I totally get what you're saying. I was actually going to ask you about that because I saw that you, I mean, like I actually got sent a couple. I the fan base is powerful, as you say. Yeah. They're very passionate. So I got sent a lot of your TikToks early on.
Oh, really?
Like when you had, right when your tour had started. And I loved it. I thought it was super fun. So, you know, was this something where you know, like you saw this great vehicle and was like, all right, I'm going to be in these cool costumes. I'm going to have this opportunity and it's going to be great content. Like, how did you kind of start with that? Did it just come naturally, or was there like a lot of thought of like, all right, this is going to be perfect for TikTok?
It kind of just happened, really. I was already pretty big with like, you know, just making niche content for TikTok before Tugger Talk, as some people call it. I was very much into doing Star Wars TikTok, because I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I love Darth Maul. That was my niche at the time. Like, I would do a lot of like memes, and because I wanted to put myself out there as like a voice actor, I practiced a lot of Darth Maul's voice from like the Clone Wars and all that stuff. And people got a kick out of that. So like, I already had a sort of like fan base doing that. And then once I told people that, like, oh, like, I am going on tour as a cat, everyone just went gung-ho and they were like, yes, we are here for it. So it kind of came naturally for me, just like making more content as Rum Tum Tugger.
Love it. Okay, so we're now going to do the crossover you never expected to happen today.
Oh, what's up?
We're going to figure out which Star Wars characters would be which cat.
Yes. Okay, cool. I'm ready for this.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's start with Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker. Oh, man. I feel Luke Skywalker would be Plato.
Plato. Mm-hmm. Okay. Younger, kind of figuring stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what else? What's the other rat? What are the other thoughts there?
Well, I'm thinking like Luke Skywalker from A New Hope. Like, he's okay, very young, and, you know, just like very very hopeful, and, you know, growing up, coming of age, and that's very similar to Plato, especially how we see his relationship with Victoria, you know. And mm-hmm. he seems to be like, I feel like Plato is like one of the kittens that is just growing up just a little bit. He's going through that awkward phase, like, you know, like he's trying to grow out his hair a bit more and it's like weird, you know, like very adolescent. Okay. Pretty much like
I love
Skywalker.
It. What about Han Solo?
Han Solo. Well, he's a smuggler, right? And there are plenty of talks from people asking me if Tugger would be a Jedi or a Sith, and I think he's a smuggler, so I think Tugger would be Han Solo, really.
Okay, yeah, I love it. What about Kylo Ren?
Kylo Ren. Oh, that's easy. That's McCavity.
Is that McCavity or is that Darth Vader, though?
No, I don't think it's Darth Vader, because with Kylo Ren, it's very... With Darth Vader was like, you know, he went through all that stages. Like, Anakin went through all the stages to become what he becomes. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, Kylo Ren is angst, and he is jealousy. And that is actually one of the words that describes McCavity. One of the three words is jealous. Mm-hmm. And I just see that with Kylo Ren more so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like it. So who would you have as Darth Vader then?
Oh, man. Well, there isn't any other villains with,
yeah,
with a cat. Well, actually, let me think about this. Let me think. Oh, man. This is probably the part where you're going to have to cut the pause period over here, because I'm really thinking about this. Who do you think? Do you have one in mind? Or you thought McCavity?
I thought it was McCavity. I think who's the henchman? I don't even know if it's in your production. There's a henchman in the pirate scene that's also supposed to be like kind of the bad guy.
Oh yeah, no, we don't do
Growl Tiger. Growl Tiger, maybe. Yeah. I kind of thought I would have had Kylo Ren as Mungo Jerry and Darth Vader as McCavity. But maybe that's just kind of the age version of that.
Oh, that's probably true. Well, you know, like, I don't, like, that's the thing. Like, I don't see Mungo Jerry as a very, like, angry cat. Sure, like, he's a little mischievous, but he doesn't go off to other planets killing other people. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Just out of like pure rage, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's not enough villains in cats, basically.
That's true.
Darth Vader can be Grizabella.
That works. I like that. Yeah. Yes, actually. Wait, that could work too. Because here's the thing. Grizabella is redeemed in the end, and so is Darth Vader. So that works.
I think, all right. I'm down for
that.
Right.
That works. Yeah.
Let's do a couple more. What about Princess Leia?
Princess Leia. I immediately want to say Victoria, because, like, you know, Leia's in the all white outfit and Victoria's the white cat, maybe in the beginning. But no, let's think of another one. I think Princess, like, I'm trying to think of Princess Leia as a whole. I'm thinking, actually, I'm thinking either between Bomb Ballerina or Demeter.
I was thinking Bomb. That was where my head went.
I think more Bomb. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, last one. I think this is probably there's two answers, I think, for this one. But what about Yoda?
Yoda. It could be Old Deuteronomy.
Or Gus.
Or Gus.
I think, or Gus.
Yeah.
Those are, I think, your two.
Yeah, for sure. I think like definitely both of them for sure, because they both have a lot to offer as far as like, you know, wisdom. Because, you know, like there's the beginning of Act Two with the moments of happiness. But I feel like, you know, I'm just thinking like every single character's arc, really, because like, you know, you see Yoda as like, you know, he's a part of the Jedi Council, and he's like, in my opinion, he doesn't really think super clear, because everything that he sees is kind of cloudy and faded. But then, like, in his last days, he is more aware of like life itself, mm-hmm. you know? So that could be Old Deuteronomy and Gus, really.
Yeah, it can be Old Deuteronomy. I mean, the fact that you said that he's not clear, I think that would be my way to say it's Old Duke, because I don't think Old Duke makes the right decision. Okay. I really enjoyed this Star Wars.
That was really fun. I like that.
I always love. I like comparing cats to any other things. It's like probably one of my favorite things to do.
I love it.
We'll be back after this short break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I want to go back to some of the relationships with Tugger and the other characters and some of the ones that, like, I think because of how much personality comes from Tugger, there's a lot of like theories and potential. So let's start with Mistopheles, the obvious one.
Yeah.
What's going on there? In your eyes, like, what's happening there?
I think they're boyfriend and boyfriend. I think that's what they are.
It's all the fan fiction is that. And it's one of those things that there's some versions of where they're together. There's some versions where they might be brothers. Mm-hmm. There's some versions where they're like other relationships, but pretty much every drawing or writing I have seen has been boyfriend and boyfriend.
I think that too, really, because like, you know, disregarding like, you know, that whole number of Mr. Mistopheles and how Tugger presents Mr. Mistopheles to save Old Dude. I just think, cause for me, like I like between Paul and I's dynamic, who's the Misto now, like we always played with like, you know, our looks at each other, even during Tugger, like we have little moments, you know? And I think because, we're all, you know, Jellicle cats, like they're all very mystical and magical. It's clear that Mr. Mistopheles is the most magical one, the most powerful one, but Tugger has a bit of magic too, you know? I don't know if this was necessarily shown in other versions, but in the revival, you know, there's like a little bit of a duet between Tugger and Misto where they're sharing the magic. So like Tugger is like throwing spotlights at other cats to like, you know, feel good or whatever. But Misto is also next to him, like projecting that. So like together they create literal magic. So, you know, and I think because of that powerful dynamic, there is a lot of love there because they understand each other. And I think Misto is the only one that kind of really does understand Tugger in that sense. Again, it's not spoken of or shown, or there are smaller elements where it can be shown, but it's never really spoken about. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's there.
When Chrissy tells you the cat story, mm-hmm. Is there an opinion on that given?
No, there really wasn't any mention of between like that relationship, really.
Okay. Cause it seems one that's like, it seems almost assumed over the years, mm-hmm. but I've always wondered if it's one of those that's just like, it's because of staging and certain things. And like you're saying, the new magic part together, where there's a lot of stuff that happens together that you can make the assumption of relationship, but there's not actually a spoken, this isn't like, there's a couple that are spoken, or there seems to be a couple that's like, we know this is true. And I think one of those is like, I'm pretty sure it's pretty much like, it's that old Deuteronomy's your dad, mm-hmm. Misto's your brother. Like some of those are just like convinced, like that's true. What do you think about Grizabella?
Grizabella, like what's, like,
is that your mom?
What's Tugger's relationship with Grizz?
Yeah. Is it your mom?
No, I think Grizabella is more like my aunt, like my annoying aunt. I think my mother is Jenny Anydots.
Jenny Anydots and Old Deuteronomy.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents. Okay. Mm-hmm,
for sure. And because like, you know, Old Deut isn't always around, you know, there's also that relationship between Skimbleshanks and Jenny Anydots. They're always together. And I think, okay, so this is a whole like branch going on here. So for Tugger, I think Jenny Anydots is like his mother. Like he birthed him, for sure. Because if you look at the costumes, like we have the same like spots.
Yeah,
we have similar spots. And I think, you know, Skimbleshanks is like father figure, but he's more so like my uncle. So like I like to give him like a really tough time. But with Grizabella, I don't think there really is like a big relationship between the two.
Okay. It's like one of the rumors, the family tree, cat's family tree is unclear, and it seems to change a lot. So Grizabella being your mom is one scenario, but I think a lot of that's just the assumption of she was a pop star type of person before, mm-hmm. you're kind of the rock star.
Yeah.
Is that like just making that tie together?
I mean, that makes sense. Like I wouldn't put it past it. But you know, with what, cause you know, me and my castmates, like in the beginning, we spoke about this. We spoke about like, mm-hmm. what all of our relationships are together. I know for me, like, I know that the definite relationships, that I have are with, Old Deuteronomy and Monkey Strap. A little bit of McCavity, but not as much, because Monk, Tugger, and McCavity are brothers. We're the three, and we're all, of course, like products of Old Deuteronomy. And you can even see it in the way that our hair is, like, you know, mm-hmm. Monkey Strap is very pointed out, but it's out. Tugger is also out, but he's got more tees like in his hair. Yeah, it's very much a mane. He's got more tees in his hair. Whereas McCavity, similar, but like it's not there. Like if you look really close at it, like you can see like he has like curls like near the top, kind of similar to where Tugger is. So similar color scheme, really. So the three of us are definitely brothers.
And then the rest is kind of just implied. So it's like you and Misto are together. Mm-hmm. Jenny might be your mom. Mm-hmm. There's the other one that's always been told to me, and it seems like it's an unwritten like part, but almost written, is that McCavity and Demeter are in like an abusive relationship.
Yeah. So yes. So with McCavity, we're also scared of him because he's really bad. He's not a good cat at all. And we have accepted Demeter and Bomb Ballerina because they were both products of McCavity. And we also say that for Grizabella, but she really fell down into the deep end. Grizabella, Bomb, and Demeter were all products of McCavity, but we were able to save Bomb and Demeter. Bomb is a bit more experienced because like she grew past her trauma and she was able to like, you know, become stronger from that. Whereas Demeter is still kind of traumatized. So that's why we have Bomb to balance her out. Whereas, again, Grizabella, she fell deep into it. It's still a little unclear to me as to like why we really why we really shunned her away. But we all know that because she stayed the way that she stayed, and because she was a product of McCavity, we're like, no, we can't take you in like that. Like, you know, you got to figure that stuff on your own. I think it's because, like, you know, because she went through so much trauma that, that she couldn't, find the path. And again, there's a lot of speculations that I'm not sure how to articulate well, but yeah, it's sad either way.
Yeah, totally. Well, this is that might not lend well to my last argument. Let's switch gears to some rapid fire. Sure. If you were going to go on as another cat, not as Tugger, forget if you're capable of singing it, dancing it, male, female, whatever. If you could just do one track one night, who would you want to go on as?
Bomb Ballerina. Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think that's always a fun answer, of just going on and singing that song. That's the song that gets stuck in my head most now.
Also, just the color scheme that she has. It's so vibrant. It's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Who are your favorite and least favorite cats? Not characters, not actors. Like right. You personally, not Tugger. Mm-hmm. Like as you, Zach.
Me. I think my least favorite character is the Rumpus Cat. My favorite has to be Mungo Jerry for sure.
Okay. I just want to say, I really appreciate that you went with least favorite first, because so often everybody in the show is like very political and they're like, here's my favorite. And it's like, oh, I have to pick a least favorite. And you're like, here right away. Yeah. I can tell you the one I dislike the most.
Yeah. The Rumpus Cat. I'm like, okay. Like, all right, whatever.
What is your favorite song in the show?
Skimbleshanks.
Yeah. I love it. That's such a fast paced, like, unique piece. What part of the, do you build part of the train? What part of the train are you?
Oh no, I'm chilling out on the tire. Right. Okay. I'm chilling with dad. I'm like, hey, what's up? What's up, old dude? Like, oh, look at the train.
Nice. Yeah. I still to this day, the first time I saw it, the light hit me in the audience. Like it flashed.
Wow.
You know, like they flash on the audience and it hit me. And so I was like, I don't know who flashed the thing at me, but I was like, I had a very anti-Skimbleshanks mindset for a while just because of that.
I'm so sorry.
But I'm turning the corner. I'm starting to like Skimble.
There was one show that I actually did help build a train. And that was because we were going through a big COVID outbreak. So like we were kind of losing some people, some cats.
Yeah.
And I helped with one of the wheels. I helped with one of the wheels and I did not realize how heavy that thing was. I was like, oh my God. And it's angled weird. Like you're holding this stick and this big metal wheel, like out in front of it. And you're trying to make it spin. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, you're
turning it, right?
Yeah.
So who gets, when there's like, when you had COVID outbreaks, did you have the twins? Like who got cut? Who were the ones that they pulled out?
Like what were the cats that are normally in cats were taken out? Let me see. They were... Etc. was taken out.
It's usually like Etc. the twins and Syllabub are the ones that I've always heard.
No, we've had we have the twins and Syllabub. I think it was like just Etc. really.
That's not bad. That's I thought for sure it was gonna be like, so that's great.
Carbuckety.
Oh yeah, is
out to. I feel like there's a couple of other. Well, I played Bill Bailey, but usually Bill Bailey is just like a different cat of its own.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a few others.
Okay. Here's my last rapid fire before we go into the $1 million question.
Okay.
Since you are, you know, have a nice little Tugger talk, which cat besides Tugger do you think would be great on TikTok? They become the influencers.
Skimbleshanks for sure.
Skimbleshanks with all the train content.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a couple answers. I think it's Bomb and Victoria are doing the dances.
Oh yeah, they got the dances down for sure.
And I think there's a world where Busfer Jones has some like cooking.
Oh niche my thing. God! If not TikTok, then definitely on the Food Network. Like he'll have his own spot there.
Own show, everything.
Yeah,
love it. All right, now here's the final $1 million question.
Okay.
All right. I've already argued at length. I don't think Grizabelle is the right jokal choice.
Sure.
So I want to know, who are you picking? Why are you picking them? Like, who are you defending?
Ah, I've been told this so many times that I've actually like come to terms with believing it. I think it's, does it have to be one or could I do two?
You can do two.
I'm going to do two. It's either Skimbleshanks or Gus. It's either one of those.
All right. So give me the rationale behind both of them.
So with Skimbleshanks, and I spoke about this with Chris Salvaggio, who plays Skimbleshanks.
Yes.
There's a lot of similar tones in his song that are played throughout the show that makes you speculate, oh, it could be Skimbleshanks. Like, he is the perfect contender to go to the Heaviside Lair. So there's that. So like, if you hear it in the music, in the Moments of Happiness, of many generations, Skimbleshanks, it's like ding, ding, ding. You hear that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, could be him. And also Skimbleshanks, like, is just like the most pure. Like, you have, like, you can't, there's like, no one has any arguments about Skimbleshanks. Like, we love Skimbleshanks. Like, even Tugger loves Skimbleshanks. Like, and he mm-hmm. bothers him so many times. It's like, oh yeah, like, you could totally go there. Like, I don't know.
Totally.
But with Gus, personally, I just love Gus, and he's just so very whole and has so much experience. And, you know, it's like it definitely could be his time. I hear that there's like a lot of theories as to like why he doesn't go to it at all. Like, plenty of them. I don't know, but
well, the first one I heard on that was from the 2016 Gus, mm-hmm. who said he didn't have a life to live. So he thought if he was chosen, he wouldn't be reborn. Like, he thought that was his end.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I think that was his way of being like, this is why I'm not getting picked every night. So that was kind of my thought there. I do have an episode with Chris. I don't know if it's coming out before or after this. So at some point you'll hear. But there is, his thought was, which I loved, is that actually Skimble was the choice until Grisabella came back. And then it was like, he was going to be it.
Right.
And then Grisabella came back and stole his thunder, basically.
Yes. So, yes. He's mentioned that plenty of times. Yes. Like, at that moment, like, it could have been him.
I like that theory. I think the question that the unanswerable question, or it could be answered by Chrissy or Andrew Lloyd Webber or somebody, but the unanswerable question is what is the criteria of Deuteronomy? And is it the same every year? Because we only get one ball.
Yeah.
And we only get this year. And it's like, he chose redemption and teaching a lesson and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But the reality is what was last year's? And I think one of your castmates thought Victoria was last year's. Mm-hmm. Who's next year's? Because if it's redemption, who's your redemption story next year? Do you have a redemption story next year? Is that McCavity? So that's where I struggle with it, is that, like, I don't know what the criteria is. Mm-hmm. And because I don't know the criteria, I think it's just like a whatever old Deuteronomy's thinking, which is a flavor of the year type of thing. Because you can make an argument for a lot of people. I still think the argument I made originally, which was my joke, which you're telling me is not a possibility because Chrissy told you you're not even in the running, but I watched a competition show. So I thought, what was the best two performances that I enjoyed that I could do? And I put Tugopheles, Tugger, and Mephistopheles together.
Oh.
Like at the X Factor.
Yeah.
I want to combine the two into a duo instead of a single, and I'm going to bring them up.
Yeah.
If I'm old Deuteronomy, that's my criteria.
Yeah.
But it seems like there's not an answer to that question. And so that makes this very hard.
Yeah.
But Gus Skimble. Sometimes Jenny, I think Skimble, the other thing is Skimble and Jenny, you wonder, can the tribe survive without them? Like, they do so much.
Yeah. There was never any talks of, like, or at least within the tribe on, like, what old Deuteronomy's criteria was. I'm sure Indalecio, who's our old dude, has had that conversation of, like, what his criteria is or what he thinks old dude's criteria is. But I'm actually I don't know either, really. But I would love to talk about a theory that I have as to why Tugger isn't a contender.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, because and I brought this up on Instagram a couple times. I think people have asked me, like, oh, like, what's your headcanon? And I was like, okay. Well, being that in this version of Cats, I play Bill Bailey, and then I go off to then play Rum Tum Tugger. So I theorize that Bill Bailey is also Rum Tum Tugger, but Bill mm-hmm. Bailey was given a chance to go to the Heaviside Lair to become Rum Tum Tugger. And with that in mind, I think Bill Bailey never lived his life to the fullest. So Old Deuteronomy gave him that chance to be able to express himself the way that he wanted to. Even the name Bill Bailey, it seems very, like, I don't know, posh. I don't know. So it's like, so like, you know, when he's given that chance to go to the Heaviside Lair, and then he comes back as Rum Tum Tugger, and you see Rum Tum Tugger and what he represents, which is just fun, openness, happiness, freedom, you know, Tugger then realizes that, like, you know, he's fine the way that he is. So, like, he mm-hmm. has no worries of going to the Heaviside Lair, which I don't think it's a bad thing that he's not a contender, because a little acting detail that I kind of throw in during the show is, you know, during Memory, we're all scattered away, we're dispersed, we hide ourselves. I'm not looking at Grisabella, but I'm hearing her, and the second time that she says happiness, it strikes me. I'm like, wait, I know what that is. That's mm-hmm. how I express myself, and this is me being Tugger. Like, this is how I express true happiness, and that's all you want. So, like, oh, now I get it. So that's my thing.
Yeah, I think it's fair. It's the your life is great right now as is. Mm-hmm. You don't want to, even if it's like winning, you don't want to, because the whole point is you go and you get reborn as a new cat, another life, mm-hmm. and you're like, my life's pretty good. Yeah. Like, I don't want to leave it right no. now. So I think that's totally fair. Mm-hmm. That goes back to, again, like, what's the criteria and what does it actually mean to win? Oh, like, yeah. I looked at it as not just a death, but it's like, some people don't even think it's death. Some people think it's like, you could just go up to the attic of the Winter Garden and hang out, you know, like, that was one theory for one point. And then, you know, one is that you win the show. So it's like, it even depends on that criteria. And, yeah. And it's so open-ended, which is why this podcast, going for 41 years, yeah. like, it can exist, is because there isn't a lot of that stuff. Yeah. But I love, so Bill Bailey, so your theory is Bill Bailey was a choice, what, like a year or two ago, and then comes back as Tugger. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I don't think I've ever, I know you've started that rumor. I don't think I've heard that from anybody else.
Oh yeah, no. Again, it was just like character work and, mm-hmm. and, you know, the makeup is very similar to both of them. And, you know, it's just like, the difference is like the look, really. That was something I just put together, because, again, I know that, like, in earlier versions of Cats, like, Bill Bailey is its own cat,
separate cat.
But because, you know, I was very honored to play Bill Bailey for like 10 minutes of the first 10 minutes of the yeah. show. I just sort of went with that. I was like, okay, they're the same. Totally. They're the same.
Totally. What other theories do you have? Do you have anything else that we've missed?
Do I have any other theories? Other than Miss Jo and Tugger or boyfriend, then not, no, not really.
Okay.
I guess one thing that I wanted to portray more with Tugger was his generosity and how genuine he can actually be. It's not just up until Mr. Mistopheles, like that, like, once we get there, like, we actually know his arc. Like, he's like, yeah. he comes in, he messes things up, but then he comes back to actually help out in the end. Mm-hmm. I wanted to show that from the very beginning, with Tugger, is that, like, yes, he's there to mess things up a little bit, but he's not there to, like, destroy the junkyard. He's not here to ruin the night. He's just here to have fun.
Yeah. Which is, I think, not always the way it's played. I think some of it's like the Tuggers go in to wreak havoc. Like, I am here to cause mischief and, like, kind of be a nuisance because I can, because it's my dad's in charge, yeah. you know, type of thing. Mm-hmm. So I do like that slight tweak on it is, I am, like, I'm here. I am a member of this tribe. I want to be a member of this tribe, but I want to go have a good time.
Yeah, for sure. In the beginning of Tugger, you know, I say, who will it be? And then I start like this maniacal laugh. Just like it's even said in the in the score, it's like ad lib laughter. I come in with this like crazy laugh, and it's a laugh that I actually do, like as Zach, like I just do it. And you know, like that, I think that was another thing too that I want to showcase with Tugger being genuine, is because like I really want to project myself into mm-hmm. the role. So adding that laugh and knowing that like the, even though it's a little scary, the laugh, we know that like he's just really having a good time.
Yeah. Can you give us one? Can you do it on cue?
I could if you wanted me to.
Yeah, let's hear it. This is an audio platform. Sure. Let's hear it.
Okay, you might have to help me out here. Could you say Jellicle's, yes, Jellicle's ass because Jellicle's dare. Who will it be?
Jellicle's ass because Jellicle's dare. Who will it be?
Who will it be?
That was amazing.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that we have that on record.
Yes.
For the world. This was amazing. How can people stay in touch? Like, so, I mean, TikTok, social media, like what are the best ways to keep up with you?
Yeah, for sure. I don't really have a lot of Tugger content anymore. But like the videos are still there if you want to check them out. On my TikTok, it's at Zach Bravo. It's just my full name, ZachBravo. Or if you just want to check out on like any other updates that I do like throughout my day, or my post on Instagram, you can follow me on @the_ZachBravo and you'll catch me there.
Awesome. Well, this was super fun. I'm glad we got to end on the maniacal ad-lib laugh.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for being a guest and sharing your theories and sharing your experience.
Thank you. This was really fun. Thank you so much.
Awesome. And thanks everyone else for listening to this episode of The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. To follow along, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram @TheWrongCatDied, or check out our website, TheWrongCatDied.com.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.